Mark chapter number 11. Sometimes the body of Christ, I've met people, well, not the whole body, but I've met people in the body of Christ that maybe are a little scared to talk about the mind. They think, well, you know, don't want to get into mind science, and I agree. I totally agree. I don't want to get into it either. I just want to stick with what the Bible says, though, don't you? Because the Word of God has answers for us in every area of life. And one of the areas that the enemy, because how many of you know, even though you and I are believers, he still wants to try to take ground in our lives. Either hold the ground he had before we got saved, or he wants to take ground and, you know, basically reign over areas of our lives that even though we've been redeemed from Satan's dominion over us, he still wants to try to hold us in the bondage. And the main way he does that is through wrong thinking or not having the knowledge of God. How many of you know the truth, and the truth will make you free? Amen. According to Jesus in John 8. But I've found in my life, you can between you and God, ask God about your own life. But I found in my life, one of the areas he works on if anybody's paying attention, I think you could say the same thing. One of the areas he works on our lives the most is our thought life. And if you've never thought much about that, tonight would be a good night to start. Because if you've never thought much about it, he might be winning some battles that he shouldn't be winning. How many of you know we've been given victory over Satan and all of his devices? Bible said, lest Satan get the advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. So he's trying to get the advantage, but if we're knowledgeable of the way he works, and the way he works on the mind, works on our thought life, then he won't get the advantage so much. Amen? Because he takes advantage of ignorance. You understand what I'm talking about? So, Jesus showed us in his life, Luke 4 was temptations that Jesus experienced. Satan was tempting Jesus. How many of you know he tempted Jesus just like he tempts us? And he tempted Jesus saying, you know, cast yourself off the pinnacle of the temple and so forth. He tempted him with certain things. And we get the idea that Satan appeared to him, but it never said that in that passage of Scripture. In fact, I don't really know that he did, because of the Bible said he was tempted in, concerning Jesus. It says he was tempted in all points like as we are. Like as we are to me sounds like, because Satan hasn't appeared to me. You know, he doesn't necessarily appear to people. He brings thoughts to people. He brings suggestions. He brings impressions. He tries to plant ideas or certain oppressive things into our thought life. And you'd be amazed if you, whenever you and I go to heaven, I think we're going to see some of this. We're going to see how much wrong thinking we might have been living under. Just because we took thoughts from the enemy. Now, not all thoughts are from the enemy. There are thoughts from God. There are thoughts that are not from Satan or God. You know, simple illustration, if you come up to a red light or a light and it turns yellow, the thought will come to you, I better slow down. I better put on the brake, right? That didn't come from God. That didn't come from Satan. There's a lot of thoughts just in this natural realm. But you understand what I mean when I say thoughts. I'm talking about there are things that can harass your mind. You know, just constant bombardment of doubt or fear or condemnation or you're going to die. You're going to have, you know, thoughts of just, you know, manic thoughts about dying or, you know, something like that. Those are not natural. And we need to be paying attention to our thought life. Somebody said every mind needs a bouncer at the doors. So Jesus had these things suggested to him. I believe it was thoughts that Satan was presenting to his mind. But Jesus, every time in Luke 4, answered those thoughts and said, it's written. In other words, Jesus caught the enemy in the way he was working. He was not ignorant of Satan's devices. And you and I are told we don't have to be either. He told us don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. So I believe that I'm further along in this than I ever have in my life. But I still sometimes realize I got some ground to cover here. I got some areas that I still, I don't like that I found myself in that place in my thought life. You know, and I didn't catch it for an hour or something like that. It used to be days. But now at least for an hour, I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, what am I thinking here? So apparently from your amens, you've been there. So, guess what? It is your mind, not Satan's mind. And you can decide, you can think what you decide to think on. Just because a thought comes to you or comes to me doesn't mean that we have taken the thought. Amen? The thoughts that come to us really determines what we do with those thoughts when they come to us, determines whether they're going to bind us or not, or keep us blinded from spiritual truth or not. Or, you know, go the wrong direction or make wrong decisions or get into doubt or walk in fear, worry, or all these things. You know, there's 1,000 things you could talk about when it comes to your thought life. But Jesus said, in fact, let's start in a different place tonight. I know you know these passages, but go to Matthew chapter number 6. Look at verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on, is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. He's talking about being actually worried. He's not saying don't ever think about finances. That would be even against other. Because how many of you know we're to be good stewards of our finances? And if we're to be good stewards of our finances, then we've got to think about what we're going to do with them. So when he says, don't take thought for your life, what you're going to eat, and so forth and so on, he's not saying, don't ever plan ahead, don't ever think ahead. He's just talking about worry. He's talking about being anxious about these things. So take note. I want you to underline that. I know we've been here many times in the past, but let's look at this again. Let's do a little checkup from the neck up. Take no thought. Underline that. Take no thought for your life. Then go down to verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Underline taking thought. Verse 28. Why take ye thought for meat? That means food. Raiment. Why take ye thought for raiment? And then he says, consider the lilies of the field, how God takes care of them. You're much more valuable than they. So underline verse 28. Take thought. Why take ye thought? Then down to verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? In other words, don't take thought. In other words, there will be thoughts come to you about, where are we going to get the money for this? Or, we're behind, and so forth and so on. Or, how are we going to pay for the groceries? Or, baby needs a new pair of shoes. What are we going to do? He's warning us to not take certain worried thoughts that come to us. You know, people say, why won't God give me peace? Let me tell you why. Because he already has. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I, the Amplified says, give and bequeath to you. Amen. Peace I leave with you. How many of you know one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace? Well, why won't he give me peace? Because he already has. That's why he's not going to give you peace. Well, what about this anxiety then that I'm dealing with? Well, there in John, where we were quoting John 14:27, peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Then he said this, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart. So the giving, his giving peace to us in the fruit of the Spirit, in the new birth, does not equal us experiencing it. Because he said, peace I leave with you, but don't let your heart be troubled. So it's not automatic just because he gave us peace. He gave us love. That doesn't mean anybody's going to experience any blessings out of my love walk. How many of you know you can have something in your heart, but not yield to it, not express it? I can be born again and have the love of God shed abroad in my heart, according to Romans 5:5, but not do anything with it, and you're in trouble. If I don't do something with it, you're in trouble. In other words, I've got to let that love dominate me. And same thing with peace, same thing with joy, same thing with all the fruit of the Spirit. We've got to develop it and let it dominate it. That's what he means. He said, I gave it to you. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Well, what the, you know, over in Colossians it says, when it talks about Colossians chapter number 3, I think it's verse 15, if I remember right. It says over there, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Why won't God give me peace? The question is, why won't you let it rule? There's more to it than just God giving us something. We've got to walk in the light of the Word for that which He gave us to be operational. So that's why He's saying, don't take these thoughts. The one greatest a thief that steals our peace, that robs our peace, is just simply our thought life. If you assess what gets you troubled, what gets you heavy, what gets you worried, what gets you afraid, it is an attack and a bombardment against your thought life. Somewhere, now don't misunderstand me, just because those things come don't equal you taking those things, but somewhere you or I took a thought and it got in. Boy, it's easy to do. It's just as easy to not do it if we get skilled at it, not doing it. But until we get skilled at not taking thoughts that of worry when they come, it is easy, because especially if we've had a habit of doing it, it's easy whenever the wrong thought comes that we just take it in. We just suck it in. You know. Don't be like a little bird. You know, you've ever seen a bird nest, and mama flies up to the nest, and all the birds in there, they got their eyes shut. You know, they want mama to feed it the worm or whatever. Well, don't be like that whenever whenever a thought comes to you. Just any old thought, just suck it down. Got your eyes closed and your mouth wide open, you know. Don't just suck it down just because it came to you. You need to analyze and assess from the Word of God, is this thought food for me? Well, how do I know, Pastor? Well, Philippians 4, whatever's true, whatever's lovely, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's of a good report, so forth and so on. Think on these things. Amen. Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Think on these things. So take his thoughts and only think on the right thoughts. So verse 31 again, Matthew 6, take no thought saying, what are we going to eat, so forth. Verse 34, therefore take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient are the days of evil thereof. So over and over and over again, Jesus is telling us, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. Now that doesn't mean don't do any thinking. He's talking about these wrong thoughts. Of worry, fear, unbelief. Because that's all the context, isn't it? Where are we going to get the money? Where are we going to, and so forth and so on. And so he's telling us that we're going to have to control our thought life. Amen. How many of you know you can't control other people's thought life? You can try, but really God hasn't even called us to control other people's thought life. That's beyond our authority. Other people think whatever they want to think. In fact, I tell them that sometimes. You can think whatever you want to think. It's your life, your mind. You know, you can take thoughts of worry, you can take thoughts of fear, you can be oppressed, you can be heavy, you can be on medications your whole life because of it. And it's your life. I mean, do whatever you want. I've chosen, though, and I think I'm looking at a group of people tonight that wants something different than that. You want to put a bouncer by your mind, by the doors of your mind, and start saying, hey, wait a minute, where'd you come from? Before I let you in, where'd you come from? That what thought comes to me, I'm going to have to control my thought life. Amen? Amen. Now, that just, what Jesus is saying is, notice the way he says this over and over again, take no thought. Somebody said, I know all this. How many of you know you can know it and really not be doing it? Take no thought. So, when he said take no thought, he's telling you and I ahead of time, it's going to come. It's going to present itself. There's going to be thoughts that will, if we open our minds to them, they will bring oppression, heaviness, rob us of our peace, bring torment, and so forth and so on. But it wasn't because, you know, because people just scream, the devil's harassing me, the devil. Well, he's not that big and bad. He doesn't have that much authority to rule people unless they give him consent. Remember the Bible said in Ephesians 4, what is that, 27, neither give place to the devil. Well, in other words, the implication is he cannot have a place in our lives unless we give it to him. And taking thoughts that he brings is giving it to him. It's giving consent to harass us, rob us of our peace, etc., etc. So when Jesus said, don't take it, he's saying, this is your responsibility to, whenever Satan brings these things, because he's telling us, don't take it, meaning he's going to. There's no person on the planet that hasn't had Satan suggest something to their minds. Or his imps, you know. Amen. Every one of us. And probably every one of us at some point or another has taken one of his thoughts. Probably more often than once. What we're learning to do is not take those thoughts. You know, somebody can do you wrong and thoughts start bombarding your mind. Thoughts of unforgiveness, thoughts of revenge, thoughts of getting even, thoughts, and all of a sudden you've taken a wrong thought. How many of you know you can have unkind thoughts, unlovely thoughts? I hope I don't meet them in a back alley thought. You know, kind of thoughts. And they'll come to you. Nobody feels good about somebody that's done them wrong. You know what I'm talking about? And the flesh will start presenting thoughts to you, just as well as the enemy. The flesh will be like, well, bless God, you know. That the fact that they come doesn't mean you've sinned, or that you have failed, or been failed to do the Bible. It's what you do with them when they come that determines whether you're going to end up in a place you never wanted to be at. Yeah. People say, how did I get here? Well, many times in their thought life first, that's how they got there. Amen. You're getting quiet on me. Amen. So his thoughts can come, but Jesus is saying we're responsible to not take them. Somebody said, well, I messed up because I had thoughts come to me. Well, then Jesus messed up in Luke 4. He had thoughts come to him. Pray for me. I need this thing cast out of me because these thoughts keep coming. Wait a minute. Then Jesus needed something cast out of him. I almost have trouble saying that because I don't want to be, you know, he didn't. But I'm simply saying to think that way is to think wrong, because these thoughts came to Jesus and he didn't need anything cast out of him. Right? These thoughts came to Jesus, but we know he never sinned. Right? So it's not thoughts coming to you or I that cause us to sin. It's not wrong. It's not a wrong thought coming that makes us think wrong. It's what we do with it. It's whether we take it. It can be presented to us, but as soon as it comes, we say, no, I'm not going to think that thought. It is written, and we re-answer that thought and replace that thought with what we know from God's Word, which if we don't know what God said, then we're at a disadvantage. But if we do that, we have not taken it. We have not, because Satan can present something to your mind that you didn't take, you or my mind that we didn't take. And it's when we take the thought and turn it over in our mind after him. You know what I mean by turn it over in our mind after him? In other words, we think his thought after him. He brought it, and then we think, huh, yeah, that's, and we start thinking it. Now we're on the road to that thing binding us. You understand what I'm talking about? But we can apparently make the decision when those thoughts come to not take them, because Jesus said, take no thought of worry or fear or whatever saying. Right? So we apparently don't have to take wrong thoughts. Or else Jesus is asking us to do something that we can't do. Would he ask us to do something that we can't do? That'd be unjust. I mean, if he said, now I want you to fly tomorrow, start flapping your wings, or flapping your arms, not your wings, flapping your arms, and I want you to fly to Mars tomorrow. Well, that's unjust. We can't do that. I know that's a strange illustration, but at least you get the point. But if he said, take no thought of worry, take no thought of fear, take no thought of, you know, a lot of things, condemnation and unforgiveness, you know, disobedience, rebellion, any of these thoughts. If he said, take no thought, then we can do that. When those thoughts come, we can answer those and say, no, I'm not going to think that thought after you. I'm not going to think that thought of disobedience. I'm not going to think that thought of rebellion. I'm not going to think that thought of unforgiveness. But the devil just keeps reminding you, they did this, they did this. And you say, no, I forgive them. I choose to forgive them. It's written, you know. And start answering those thoughts. And just because he persists doesn't mean that he can persist with wrong thoughts, and you can start feeling terrible because it keeps coming, it keeps coming. And there's an atmosphere and a spiritual influence that comes with those thoughts, and you can start feeling terrible, but still you haven't done anything wrong. You know what I'm talking about? It took me years to learn that, what I just told you right there. And he can make you feel terrible, but you have still, you're still standing and haven't given in to that, and you keep answering that, even though it has come 497 times. I mean, that thought just keeps bombarding you and harassing you. The fact that the devil keeps repeating it doesn't make it so. These are all things you've heard before, but we just need to brush up on it a little bit. I think the news media has gotten the idea now that if we keep repeating it, things, people will start believing it. Well, we've got to keep answering things sometimes. Amen. So, all right. So, they may come, and they may come over and over again, but taking them is different than them coming. Amen. Brother Hagin used to say, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. That's what he's saying is, you can't keep thoughts from coming sometimes, but you can sure keep them from lodging in your thought life. Amen. There's a lot of things we've allowed that are only in our minds because we haven't exercised authority over them yet. We still haven't decided to be free from those thoughts. Amen. This is why many things are the way they are, and they keep being the way they keep being. And we keep cycling through whatever we keep cycling through, oppression, depression, heavy clouds, you know, bad moods. We turn into a different person sometimes. You know, say amen, somebody. I mean, it shouldn't be that people don't know which Pastor Jay they're going to meet today whenever they meet Pastor Jay. They going to meet the sweet, loving Pastor Jay, like his mama? Or are they going to meet Pastor Jay that's mean and angry and ugly and... Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I might be preaching to you. It might be you that I'm talking to. Amen. Just keep smiling. But see, there's a lot of things that we keep allowing. Amen. We just keep allowing. I've met people that have gone through and lived through mental oppression, and I'm not saying these things to be hard. I've been there. I know what that's like. But I've also, the way I'm sharing this tonight is out of the spirit of faith that it took me. I had to be direct with the enemy and very disciplined with my thought life in order to get past that. And so I'm sharing this out of that, not out of meanness or harshness or hardness on anybody going through, you know, an attack of mental oppression. But you have to get to the place where you just decide it's just not going to be this way anymore. Whenever that heaviness comes, you start going, ha, 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 woo, I got the joy of the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. I'm not going to take those thoughts of unforgiveness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can feel it coming on you sometimes. Unforgiveness or bitterness or, you know, victim mentality. You know, every time I step out to get a little bit ahead, I get knocked back and here it comes again. There's just things that come against, and you can feel it coming. You can sense it coming. And you can decide right then, I'm not going through that this time. I'm going to resist these things. I'm going to stand against them. I'm going to keep my joy. And you might, while you're doing it, feel lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. But you just stick with it. And say, I'm not acting out of those feelings. Amen. Amen. Don't wait on God to do something about that dark cloud. How many of you know He's waiting on us? Amen. He's really not going to do anything until we act. Amen. Now, what we need to understand is, there in John 14:27, He said, my peace I give to you and leave with you and so forth. Then He said, and the Amplified is amazing. He said, stop allowing yourselves to be troubled and so forth and so on. So He's basically saying if these things are a part of our lives, we're allowing them. That's a hard thing to think about sometimes, but how many of you know sometimes it's looking real hard at what the Bible actually says is really the key to our freedom. And so what He's saying is when He said stop allowing yourselves to be this troubled and so forth, fearful, I don't remember all the words there, but you understand all these things are included. What He's saying there is that we have authority to not allow it. We as Christians have to understand the authority we have over the thoughts that come to us. People say, resist the devil. Well, you can bind the devil. You can bind and resist, say, Satan, get out of here, and so forth and so on, and continue to take his thoughts, and he won't leave. Because you're sort of beating the air, so to speak. In other words, you're trying to hit Satan over here, but you're yielding to his thinking over here. How many of you know you can't resist the devil and yield to him at the same time? I don't know if that makes sense to you or not. Amen. Amen. I said you can't resist him and yield to him at the same time. Praise the Lord. So whenever we answer, and yes, it's right to resist the devil, but then turn your thinking away from the thoughts that he keeps bringing. Now listen, it's not right. It's not enough to just say, I'm not going to think that thought. You have to replace the thoughts with the renewed thoughts of God's Word. That's what the renewing of the mind is. He didn't say the removing of the mind or the emptying of the mind. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the removing or the emptying of our mind. That's not what he said. He said by the renewing of our mind. In other words, we're to wash out wrong thoughts and by putting in the right thoughts. If you and I sit around and say, I'm just not going to think that thought. I know we know all this, but see, I go back to these things constantly, and I think all of us need a reminder from time to time. To just say, I'm not going to think that thought is not scriptural. I mean, not thinking wrong thoughts is scriptural, not taking them scriptural, but that's not enough is what I'm saying. Remember Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on nothing. Isaiah 26:3? Well, that's not what I'm supposed to do, not think that thought. So I'm just not going to think. Okay, I'm not going to think that thought. Not going to think. So I'm not going to think on anything. No. Whose mind is stayed on thee. On the Lord. Well, how are you going to keep your mind on the Lord? You're going to keep your mind on what he said. Going to keep your mind on what he said. If he said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, you keep your mind on that and you keep saying that. And every time feelings of condemnation, guilt, unworthiness, you know, all those things come to you, you keep saying, no, it's written, he has made me accepted in the beloved. There is therefore now no condemnation. And he's, you know, good. Start talking about the blood. What you know about the blood? What you know about righteousness? What you know about forgiveness? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And you just keep holding that up to the devil. You don't fight thoughts with thoughts, you fight thoughts with words. Do you hear? In other words, we got a lot going on here. We don't just say we're not going to think that thought, but we refuse to take that thought, but then we answer the thought with the truth of God's word that we have embraced. Isn't that right? And then we speak those words to the enemy whenever he's talking to us. Because we don't fight thoughts with thoughts, we fight thoughts with words. Are you following all that? Are you getting all these things? So really, to be honest with you, you know, many of us have learned and are learning to talk to God in prayer. But we need to learn and get good at talking to the enemy. Now, I'm not talking about walking around conscious of him all the time. We're to be walking around conscious of God and his love. But whenever he sneaks up on us and starts talking in our ear and putting thoughts in our minds, we need to learn to take God's word and answer those thoughts and talk to him. Amen. Now, let's go back to Mark 11, where we were going to start this evening. We haven't been preaching that long. It's not evening. We didn't start in the morning. We started in Mark 11. Jesus, excuse me. Let's look at something in verse 12. Mark 11, verse number 12. On the morrow when they were come from Bethany, this is Jesus and his disciples, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he was come, or when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. You wonder what they thought whenever they heard that. He's talking to a tree. Do I still want to keep following him? You know. The disciples heard it. We don't know what they thought. They didn't say what they thought. How many of you know, if we have a thought, we should just keep our mouth shut sometimes? Amen. If we think something and don't say it, people will wonder what we're thinking. But if we open our mouth, we remove all doubt about what we're thinking. I've had to sit in conversations sometimes and say, I have no opinion. I have no opinion. I refuse to take an opinion here. Sometimes you have to. I like whenever husbands and wives start having a... we don't have fights. We have intense discussions or, you know. And I have to sit there and say, it's not my business. It's not my business. I have no opinion. It's not my marriage. Isn't that right? I mean, you're fine until you interject and take sides. Then, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Mamma mia, whoa, whoa, whoa. Somebody's going to jump on you like a duck on a June bug. So I sit sometimes, I have no opinion. I have no opinion. Shut up. Don't take that thought. I have no opinion. No, no. Get out of here, thought. It's written in the Word of God. Amen. There are verses that talk about minding your own business. I mean, you know, just so. Anyway, how did I get on that? I don't know. Maybe it helps somebody. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 20, or 11, 12. Jesus, in verse 14, he answered it. No man, and he said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. He spoke to a tree, But notice it didn't just say he spoke to the tree. It says he answered the tree. If it had said he saw the tree and he spoke to it, that would be different than he answered it. Speaking to it, it doesn't imply that it said anything to him. But answering it implies it said something to him. Well, somebody said, it doesn't have lips. How can it talk to Jesus? It didn't have a tongue. It didn't say anything out loud. The disciples didn't hear it. What did it say? Well, I don't think it said anything audibly. I think a thought came to him. When he came to it, what was he coming to it for? He was coming to it for something to eat. Isn't that what it said? He was hungry. Verse 12 says he was hungry and he saw this fig tree and he came, if happily he might find anything on it there to eat, in other words. And he didn't find anything. And so the thought came to him, well, you're not going to get anything to eat. You're going to be hungry. You're going to miss a meal. Except that's unscriptural. I've never seen, he could have quoted David right there. I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
That thing said something, not audibly, but thoughts came to him.
Yes.
By thoughts that came to him, it said something to him.
Yes.
You ever opened your checkbook and to pay your bills and it said something to you? No, it didn't have lips. It didn't say anything. But it did talk to you. A thought came to you by looking at the checkbook. A thought came to you. What you do with that thought determines whether you're in faith or not. You can't just sit there, I'm not going to think that thought. No, you need to answer that. Jesus taught us how to do this. He answered it. Isn't that right? So, really, to be a person of faith doesn't mean that things don't talk to you. Well, I don't want anything to talk to me. Okay. Being a person of faith doesn't mean they won't. But it does mean that you talk to what's talking to you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Pastor.
Amen.
It's not enough to be silent.
No, it's not. Come on now. Come on.
The Bible didn't say you'll have what you are silent about. Said you'll have what you say. You know when we're silent, we're taking it in so many times? We're accepting the thought. Yeah. I don't know why some of you are looking at me like you're really convicted tonight. We're not intended to, you know, to hound on anybody. We're just simply examining all of our lives and saying, how am I doing in this area? I don't know if you've ever held conversations, and if you're perceptive, sometimes whenever you're talking, you can perceive when somebody took a wrong thought about what you said. Sometimes it's on their countenance, but sometimes it's not even on their countenance. You know what I'm talking about? I have watched people just... they're a part of the church, and they're just loving God and loving everybody. And I'm telling you, the church is the best, next best thing to sliced bread. I mean, whoo, this church is awesome. And they're just having the blessings of God and growing, and everybody's fine and wonderful, and everybody's wonderful. This church is great. I mean, I haven't met a church. I ain't been in a church like this anywhere. Oh, my goodness, this is the best church ever. And they're living that way for a long time, whatever, years or months, whatever. And you can be up preaching one service and look in their face and say, something got in. Something ain't the same. You know what I'm talking about? Or you just perceive it. Now they're suspicious of everybody. Now, well, what do they mean by that? Is he trying to attack me? Why do you say that for? You know, and Satan starts working on their mind, on their thought life. And all of us, all of a sudden, who were wonderful, all of a sudden were terrible. Terrible church, terrible people, mean. I'm telling you, down there at the church, they're mean. They don't have any love down there at the church. And we're all acting the same as we always have. Say amen, somebody. I'm over here. Say amen over here. It wasn't us that changed. It's the enemy started working on their thought life. They took a thought. I'm telling you, it only takes one. It just takes one. He's willing to work on us until for years until we just let down our guard a little bit and take it. Just take one. The Bible talks about over, and I don't even, that just comes up in my heart. I don't remember the reference. You remember the verse talks about, I think it's in Proverbs, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That word thinketh is the word for gatekeeper. Whenever you and I start taking wrong thoughts, we stop being the gatekeeper against, and we start opening the gate to wrong thoughts rather than closing the gate to wrong thoughts. We were only opening the gate of our mind to right thoughts from God, and we were keeping it closed to wrong thoughts. But whenever we change gatekeepers, all of a sudden we take in all the bad thoughts and don't accept the right thoughts. I'll tell you, this is good utterance tonight. I'm not taking the credit for that. I'm giving the glory to God. Thank God for his help. Amen. And so people say, well, they changed. No. The people that they used to think were wonderful, now they're different. They've changed. No, it wasn't us that changed. It was their thought life that changed. They opened their mind to something, a suggestion that Satan had. Maybe he's been trying to get it in for a long time, but they wouldn't let it in. But something changed where the gatekeeper changed. A lot of times, I'll tell you what the gatekeeper changed is. It's offense. Honor used to be the gatekeeper. Now offense is the gatekeeper. And honor would keep wrong thoughts out. I'm not going to think that about them. But now the new gatekeeper, offense, it's glad to think bad things about them. We are. We're shucking the corn tonight. So you have not really, to be honest with you, learned. You haven't, until you've learned to talk to things and talk to thoughts and answer thoughts and so forth, you've really not entered into the full scope of faith. Jesus took this thought, and here Mark 11:20, verse 14 really, he took this thought and he answered it. He answered and said unto it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 It's not okay to all day long guard your thought life and in the middle of the night, when you wake up in the middle of the night, just let wrong thoughts go around and around in your mind. It's not okay. Amen. If you wake up in the middle of the night and Satan bombards your mind, now you got to get, maybe not physically get up, but I mean spiritually get up, and you've got to start saying, no, I'm not going to lay here and think those thoughts. I'm not going to lay here and think thoughts of going under financially, or think thoughts, the wrong evil thoughts against my brother or my sister in Christ. Amen. You know what I've learned to do? If Satan brings wrong thoughts about people over me in the Lord, or ministers or something, if you get to this place where you can do this, it means you have a lot of insight into what's really going on. Whenever that kind of stuff comes to me, wrong thoughts about others or ministers or something, I always say, oh, I see you don't like them, do you, devil? Yeah. If you can respond to that and not think, well, I'm wrong for taking that. I'm wrong for having that thought. It wasn't you.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Hello. It wasn't you that thought that thought. It's Satan that's always trying to divide the body of Christ. And I'll tell you, if we don't guard our thought life, it's easy for him to do it. Amen, Pastor Jay. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't intend to get into all this. Amen. Thank God for the word. We're learning, aren't we? Hallelujah. Now, Jesus spoke to things that no one ever thought to speak to. He spoke to wind and waves, fevers, dead men. Isn't that right? I mean, really, you could say here in Mark 11, he's speaking to lack. Or thoughts of lack. Or being hungry. Going hungry. Having no food. Isn't that right? He spoke to demons. He spoke to temptation in the fourth chapter of Luke. He spoke to suggestions and thoughts of the enemy in the fourth chapter of Luke. And I believe right here he's spoken whenever he answered this tree. He's speaking or answering suggestions and thoughts. Amen? How many of you know it didn't say, and Jesus just ignored it? How many of you know it's not enough to just ignore it and hope it goes away? They won't. They won't go away. They only respond to authority. Amen. These things, wrong thoughts, they only respond to authority. They need to hear the voice of authority or they're going to be hanging around. They're going to, these little suggestions. Yeah. You know, you can be working and doing your job or whatever you're doing during the day and it's back here working on you. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? And you need to stop and you need to turn and say, you need to turn and answer it. Because authority is what they respond to. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody ever heard a bad report and a heaviness tried to get on you? Yeah. Oppression or depression, your emotions even, as well as your thoughts get heavy. These are not just natural things. I know there's a natural side to some things, but these are not just natural things. Amen. And some people have lived under this so long that they don't even realize that it has actually changed their personality. They think it's normal. They think it's just them. I've had thoughts oftentimes, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go to heaven and realize, oh my goodness, that thing dominated my life because I just wouldn't deal with that thought. I don't want to do that, do you? Amen. Hallelujah. So really we're talking about dominion over mental oppression, dominion over thoughts, and we've got to learn to reign in this area. Hallelujah. You've got authority in these areas. You don't just have authority over the devil. You do. He's the one bringing the thoughts. But you've got authority over the thoughts. You can choose what you think on. Amen. Hallelujah. But what I'm endeavoring to get across tonight is that a lot of people, when it comes to authority, they have a very limited thinking or a narrow view of authority. They just think it means, Satan, I resist you. But in all reality, if they're not controlling their thought life, they're really not resisting him. Their words might be coming out of their mouth. You understand what I'm talking about? When it comes to exercising authority over the devil, it's a little like somebody said one time, you can't fight Philistines in the daytime and fellowshipping with them in the nighttime. And when it comes to our thought life, what I'm saying is that to exercise authority over Satan, you just can't be out there saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and then going back and fellowshipping with wrong thoughts. You know what I'm talking about? Because there's a spiritual law in the Bible that what you and I fellowship with, we are partaking of. So if we're fellowshipping with the thoughts that bring the fear, bring the oppression, we're thinking them after. When I say fellowship, I mean thinking them after him, turning them over in our mind, and letting our mind be dominated by them. When we're doing that, we're actually fellowshipping with the influence that was intended to bring into our lives. The bondage that was intended to bring into our lives, including our thought life. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, we're learning. We're learning to renew our mind. We're learning to not take wrong thoughts. I think that's enough for tonight. I think we've got to the place where maybe we can't endure too much longer. But let's check up on our thought life. What do you say? We haven't ministered on this for a while. I got good news for you. You got complete authority over your thought life. You can have a free mind. The weapons of our warfare are mightier than what comes against our thought lives. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God didn't leave us victims of this? And, you know, keep us in a place where we're ruled and oppressed. Now, we have compassion on people that are oppressed, but we've also got answers, and it shouldn't be that Christians are oppressed at the same rate as the world. You know what I mean? Just having the same issues. We have compassion on people. We want to see people helped, and if they're at a stage where they're bound in that area, we want to help them where they're and meet them where they are. So I'm not saying, you know, we don't want to do that, but I'm just simply saying as we grow spiritually more and more, we ought to be coming out of these things, coming out of these cycles where, you know, we lay in bed for days in oppression, you know, with a dark, you know, the great drapes pulled or something like that. Amen.
Yeah.
We're free people.